Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a treat to have back in our studios. Bill Haney is here. Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you with us once again. Tonight, we'll be talking about the production that opens on Wednesday, The Wizard of Oz, and that's going to be a really spectacular event. Bill has brought with him the Chief Mucky Muck, the head guy, the director of The Wizard of Oz. Billy Sprague Jr. is here once again. Welcome back, Billy.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you with us. And we're going to talk about The Wizard of Oz and get a chance to get some behind-the-scenes information from both Bills. Both Bills. I don't know if we've had two Bills before.
I don't think so. Right, did I do this with you last time? I don't think I did.
I don't think
no.
we did.
No.
It's a first.
All right. So two Bills. But we'll go with Billy and Bill. That'll keep it straight. All right.
Perfect.
As far as the season at this point, Bill, we've had some spectacular results with the show so far. Let's catch our audience up on what's been happening.
Well, we just finished last night a successful 4-week run of West Side Story, which, ready for this one, we broke the My Fair Lady record, which means West Side Story is the largest grossing show in the theater's history.
Wow. And
pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Every time you're in,
I don't make this stuff up. It's,
I know.
The truth.
Everyone is. It's just amazing, amazing, amazing. Getting bigger and better all the time. And before that,
Buddy did the same thing. Buddy, yeah. Buddy, it was the same thing. Broke that 3-week record and first slot record.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So things are good at theater.
And actually, Wizard of Oz is tracking better than Little Mermaid, which was last year, which I think the record breaker. I'm not sure if we broke the record with Mermaid versus Mary Poppins, but we're going to be getting really close with this show, with Wizard of Oz. So.
There you go. And I'm sure that the new air conditioning or air cooling system has helped a lot of people that want to go out.
Absolutely. We had people who just love the theater, and they said they just can't do it on a July, you know, matinee, and I can't really blame them.
Right.
But it has worked so successfully. As you know, I don't want to turn it on all the time because we want just the atmosphere of this theater. But when we need it, it's there, and it's worked. We've had a couple of hot days in July, matinees, sold-out matinees with the West Side Story, and it did its thing.
It makes a big difference.
Complaints. People say you can turn it down. Or, you know, say, I can't win either way.
Well, at least it's there. And Billy, good to have you back. You were here a while back with other shows you've done in Rhode Island. Why don't you just kind of recap what's been happening to you since then?
Bill offered me a job a couple of years ago directing and choreographing Spamalot, and then hired me again last year for Mermaid. And since then, I've been traveling around doing what directors and choreographers do, and a gig here, a gig there.
A gig here and a gig there. And it sounds like, you know, I went from Providence to Woonsocket to Westerly. No. I believe your gig here and gig there is pretty worldwide, right?
It has been. I've worked in Moscow, and after I worked for Bill last summer, I went right to Amsterdam to do a big production of Beauty and the Beast for a European company called Stage Entertainment, and then I was just out in California directing a show out there, and flew back to the East Coast to come up here and work at Theater by the Sea again.
Well, it's great to have you back.
And this fall, I get to get him again when he comes to North Shore to do Spamalot. He did it, as he just said, last year, and it was so terrific.
That's going
to
be in the fall?
In the fall. We've got most of the whole cast, correct?
Like it's 99%. It's almost the same cast, which was really just a top-notch, a terrific cast when we did it at Theater by the Sea.
Well, if you missed it at Theater by the Sea, you have a chance to drive for an hour or so
and go around to
the North Shore. And, Bill, I don't know if we've ever actually talked about this, the North Shore shows that are there, which obviously you own that theater. People can go online to the find out what's coming.
Very easily. If they go on Theater by the Sea, there's a link right there to click to North Shore and vice versa. So it's easy. And we do some pretty good things there.
Right.
I really will say.
And different timing than Theater by the
Sea. Yeah, we run through Christmas because we do a big production of A Christmas Carol.
Okay. So there's so Spamalot this fall in November, is it?
It's October.
October. End of September, beginning of October.
All right. Well, there's something to look out for right there. Well, let's get to Wizard of Oz, which is an iconic, certainly movie and production in general. And there are lots of characters, and the story about Dorothy leaving her home, more or less. Actually, it doesn't really happen, does it? I've always wondered. How do people answer that question?
Well, I think that is a really good question. I think that's left for the audience to decide.
Okay. So did she actually go to Oz, or was it all just a dream?
Yeah. I think she did.
Okay. Well, you know, by the way, for those of you, this is radio, so you can't see Billy, but he is wearing red slippers, so.
He's turning red right now.
No, he's turning red. But anyway, let's talk about the show and the cast. Starting with, we have three main characters along with Dorothy, of course, the Tin Man that was... the Tin Man. See how my memory is. That was Tin Man. Was that Bert? No, Burt Lau was the Lion.
Jack.
And
Jack Haley. Right?
Jack Haley was
Jack
the
Haley,
Tin Man. Yeah.
Tin Man. And then who was the Ray Bolger. Yeah. Was. Okay, so let's take it from your perspective now. Is there if people are familiar with the movie, which almost everyone is, how different is the stage production?
Well, the goal for, first of all, the stage production is quite close to that 1939 classic movie. There are some surprises in the stage production that aren't in the movie, which the audience hopefully are, I think that it enhances the story and the, along with the choreography, the music, there's some new material. But the classic story is there, and my goal as the director was really to tell this iconic story and create this nostalgic feel, so when the audience enters, the set designer's design, Kyle's design, is really beautiful, and it sets the perfect tone. You'll hear the overture with this iconic music, and then hopefully the audience is going to get swept right into the story, and we all know the story because we all watched it.
Right.
Every year we all watched it, and
probably not more watched movie than almost any production. I mean, it's just amazing.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to some music, and we'll just get the flavor going here. We'll start with the overture and then come back and talk some more.
Total right over the back with a rake.
Dorothy, don't bother us now.
Go and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Well, now we know the idea is to keep Dorothy out of trouble. But, Bill, people that are in trouble are the ones that don't have tickets yet to see this.
They're in a hurry. That's why I think our subscriptions are up, to be honest with you, because people are getting shut out of shows.
Wow.
We had a lot of people in Buddy Holly just couldn't get tickets, and we just tell them, you got to subscribe.
So call today. If there is an opportunity to get tickets, you should do so. And how can they go about getting them?
Always easy to call 401-782-8587 or click on theaterbythesea.com or go down and see Vinny at the box office.
Go see Vinny.
Yep. He loves to take care of people.
Tell him hello for me and see if he can find you a seat. You know, what they could do is people could stack up some crates outside and maybe try to peek through some.
I got to tell you something. On the final week of Buddy Holly, I had two tickets, which I ended up giving to Vinny to sell, and I sat on the stairs because I said, let's get some people to see the show. I've already seen it, and we'll make a couple extra dollars.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, let's get it.
We haven't started scalping them yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Want to buy a watch? All right. Let's get to the production itself. And what about, Billy, maybe you can talk a little bit about the cast and some of the people that are involved in this. And I know that you still have only, what, 3 or 4 days till the preview on Wednesday and Thursday and then the big opening on Friday night. But it's one of those, a lot of people that you've worked with before or most of them first-timers?
A few people that I've worked with before, and a lot of the cast is first-timers. And you know, we went to New York, and we held auditions for a week there. And like always, casting is crucial. It's one of the most important aspects of any production. And I think we did a terrific job finding the right cast. And you know, every character is really strong. Every actor that's been cast in the show, they all come to the table with material really strong vocally, really strong actors, and a lot of strong dancers in it as well. But I'm very happy.
Great, the looks of the people, mm-hmm. we want to resemble the characters in the
right.
show, and I think we were really successful doing that also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, if they're listening to this and they get confused a little bit, this is obviously professional equity for the most part, and then there's a little mix of some non-equity people involved
and
with
local
it.
People.
And so a few local people now and then, which is always good to get out and support that. But it's a terrific opportunity to see a big production like this. As far as the storyline goes, right off the bat, we go to one of the iconic songs, right?
We sure do. Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Who doesn't know that song?
Could you sing a couple bars?
I don't think you would want to hear that. But the young lady that plays Dorothy is really spectacular. She even evokes, I dare say, a little bit of Judy Garland, and at the same time is making the part her own. But vocally, she is just, you know, she has to be able to sing up there in the stratosphere. And this song in particular is one of the hardest songs out there for anybody to sing for a lot of reasons. But one of them is there is this octave jump at the beginning of the song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Right.
And within that octave jump, that actress has to embody all the yearning, all of the wanting and desire. It's a tricky song acting wise, and it's a tricky song technically vocally, and I've done a lot of research on it, and this young lady is really doing a terrific job in pulling it off.
All right, well, let's give this song a listen to. This is obviously not from the Theater by the Sea production because it hasn't happened yet, but this is a London cast performance, I think, that we're listening to.
This is the London cast, yes.
All right, here we go with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Theater by the Sea's production of The Wizard of Oz.
Someplace where there isn't any trouble. I wonder if there is such a place. There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain. When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Theater by the Sea's Bill Haney, who is the executive director, and the director of The Wizard of Oz, Billy Sprague Jr., is here. And Billy, one of the things we talked about was Dorothy and the versatility of that singing on Over the Rainbow. During the commercial break, we talked a little bit about the fact that this is not a kid's show. I mean, everybody grew up with this and watched it when they were a kid, probably, but it certainly, as a production, is suitable for the entire family, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. And no, everybody knows that it isn't a kid's show, but it's always good to remind people. And when you break down the story, and it's actually quite wicked. No pun intended, but it's definitely an adult story as well.
Right, there's a lot for anybody at any age to take away from this, and I think Bill, we did mention briefly during the commercial break that it is different than last year's production of Little Mermaid, because people were a little bit reluctant at first about Little Mermaid, thinking it was a cartoony kind.
Yep, they thought it was for little kids, and until, as I was saying earlier, once it opened and the word started to spread, then people got it that you got to go see. This is not a little kiddie show. This is a really terrific story. Told in a very professional way. So
now you build the season, so to speak, and traditionally when the season starts, it was a smaller production, similar to Rat Pack, which was very successful, but not a huge cast.
No, and I got away, and the reason, because of the Rat Pack, I figured out we might be able to get away with this, because everybody always said to me, the people aren't here yet. It's just too early in the season. You're not going to get the audiences you could get, so why put a big cast on and to play to not a lot of people? And Rat Pack proved it wrong, being a small show. So the next year, I think we did, Smokey Joe's Cafe. And that was a bigger, there was like 14 people in it. Yeah. And this year, Buddy had like 16 or 18 people in it, and they sold extremely well. So 3 years in a row, we've been filling that first slot up. And it actually allows me to go to a lot of more titles to pick from that just aren't 4 or 5 people shows, because you run out of those kind of quickly.
Right.
Or the shows that I don't really want to do, you know?
There's always that.
Yep.
Now, certainly The Wizard of Oz is not a small cast. What do you have any ideas? Is there 18, 20?
Oh, no, there's quite a few more than that. I think there's 32, and 33 if you're counting Toto.
Yep.
33.
It's a huge cast, for sure.
All right. I mean, that's like a square foot for everybody on the stage.
Exactly. Actually, I have to say, though, again, with Kyle's set design, we think we're utilizing the space in the best possible way. So we're not just throwing a bunch of people up there. It's everything is staged and choreographed and every count. So it's going to look... I think we've done a terrific job.
Now, do we give away anything if we say there's even some space that isn't necessary on the stage because people might not be standing on the stage? Does that give anything away if they're...
Flying?
Yeah.
No, I've gotten into the habit of flying this family, usually family-friendly shows in this slot. No, we fly many times throughout this show. It's the Wizard of Oz. If you don't fly those monkeys and the witch, something's wrong.
Right. Okay.
You know, so we have to spend a few extra dollars, which is a small fortune to do that.
Well, I was just going to say, that's not an easy thing to accomplish and stay in some kind of budget. But, I don't think that's bothered you much.
No, and the good news is, and it always does, because you have to pay kind of, attention to what you're spending or else you'll go out of business at some point. But our spending, that it is really greatly increased, the audience has gone along with it. So it's paying for itself. As I said, the theater's doing really well, and it should be here for a lot more years. So,
right, and when times get tough, you can find Bill backstage painting. And
I didn't know that. That's great.
No, I'm talking about you.
Me? Oh, well, it's funny. They won't let me paint backstage, but I get to paint in the theater, the walls and things like that, because people have caught me doing it.
I think a couple years ago I caught you painting
backstage. You did.
That's
right. That's it. Yeah. It might have been when somebody was taking a break or whatever.
All right. Let's get back to the story as such. And talk about our next musical piece, which is If I Only Had a Brain. And Billy, where does this come in the production?
Well, it's in the third or fourth scene in the first act, and it's when Dorothy really sets out on her journey. And this is the first kind of strange character that she meets along her way after she leaves Munchkinland. And, of course, it was originally played by Ray Bolger, the iconic actor, singer, dancer from a vaudeville background in the movie, and we have a terrific actor with a great physicality doing it here at Theater by the Sea.
All right, you're testing my trivial knowledge. That role was supposed to go to Buddy Ebsen, wasn't it? Was that the one that was supposed to be Buddy Ebsen?
I believe that's right. I believe that's right.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Yep.
There.
Them pesky crows again.
Shoot!
Skeeter! Scram! You see, I can't even scare a crow. They come from miles around just to eat in my field and laugh in my face.
Said a scarecrow swinging on a pole to a blackbird sitting on a fence.
All the Lord gave me a soul, but forgot to give me common sense. Said the blackbird,
well, 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 what in thunder would you do with common sense? Said the scarecrow,
'twould be pleasing just to reason out the reason of the witchness and the whiness and the whence. If I had an ounce of common sense,
if he had an ounce of common sense,
what would you do, scarecrow?
I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the gods you'd be thinking you could be another Lincoln
if I only had a brain. Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore.
You could think of things you never thought before.
And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-derry if I only had a brain.
Oh, that was wonderful! Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would?
Uh-huh.
Where is Kansas?
Well, that's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to the Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're gonna see a wizard?
Yep.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say. But even if he didn't, you'd be no worse off than you are now.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I've never thought before.
And then you'd sit
and think some more. Gosh, it would be awful pleasing to reason out the reason for things I can't explain. Then perhaps I deserve ya and be even worthy of ya. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-derry if I only had a brain.
ever, oh, ever, I wish there was. The Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Goodbye, Scarecrow. I'm gonna miss that old head man. You said he was a stuck shirt.
But now he's down off the pole, he ain't nearly so stuck up.
Caw, caw, caw!
Well, before the phone starts ringing and the emails start coming in, I think that while it was playing, you're going to correct me a little bit on who I thought was playing what. But was not Buddy Ebsen on the on that. It was Buddy Ebsen playing the Tin Man.
That's right.
And a little trivia about that, right?
Yeah, they originally had cast him, and he ended up having a severe allergic reaction to the metallic paint that they used for the 1939 movie, and he became really ill and had to back out of the production.
There you go. I stand corrected, but I knew, Billy, you'd straighten me out and get the right facts so that people don't have to call now. You don't have to write. We get it all figured out. And Bill, as far as other things going on at Theater by the Sea, before we finish this segment, I just want to give you the opportunity to talk about the next production coming in after Wizard of Oz.
Sure.
And that's going to be another biggie.
Yes, Sister Act. It's kind of funny because the Spamalot went from here to North Shore, where Sister Act is coming from North Shore here, meaning that it was so terrific last year. It was the last show of the season. Kevin directed it for me. It was so terrific. I said, I'm doing that title only if the cast agrees to come and do it here at Little Theater by the Sea. Mm-hmm. And again, 99% of those people are coming to do it here.
Great.
And they were that good. And I've seen Sister Act a lot, including London, New York, on the road, and nobody's ever gotten it right because they always miss that one important character, Dolores, play in the movie, played by Whoopi, because the directors just don't get it. She's going to be sassy and all that. And we got the gal that does it, and you wait till you see this thing. I promise you will not be disappointed.
All right. Well, that sounds very exciting. And, you know, we've talked about getting tickets and so forth and made mention of the fact that, you know, they're a little bit harder to get right now. So the people that want to avoid that for next year, mm-hmm. for the next season.
Well, here it is. Yeah, it's funny you said, because during my third show, this show, Wizard of Oz, I get to tell everybody what's coming next year. Mm-hmm. And we go on sale pretty much during the final show, which this year will be Sister Act, for next year's. And I really, it's not a sales pitch. I tell people they really should subscribe.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get harder and harder. We only have 500 seats. And the shows are doing that well that we are, I took a picture last 2 or 3 weeks ago of the sold out, this performance sold out sign, and somebody said, what are you doing? I think he goes, it's not that rare anymore, Bill. It's
right.
out a lot.
Right.
You
I
know?
Mean, if you go on the website right now and you look at the remaining performance opportunities for either the Wizard of Oz or Sister Act, you'll see that there's tickets, but there's, you know, one here,
going.
Two there, there's three there, there's not
it
a lot.
Depends on the performances also. Certain nights are more popular, but really, I just tell people, if you want to see it, get it early and really subscribe for next year. You'll be guaranteed. And subscribers always can move, they can move their dates around. They're not locked into it. They're subject to availability at that point, but they're not locked into that date that they picked a year from now.
All right. So the next time we hear you, you'll be able to tell us what next season is.
I
right?
will. Look All forward right. to
I
that.
I thought I was going to confuse you and get you to give us a little scoop.
I almost made a mistake. I was not lying to you earlier. I was going to talk about something. I said, oh, can't do that right now.
All right. Back to Wizard of Oz. And Billy, there's lots of characters in this. There's lots of, you mentioned set design is important on this. We're going to be flying people, and you're using every square inch of that space. Costuming is another thing that's important in this, right?
The costumes, it's a, you know, this is another type of show where the costumes are crucial, similar to Little Mermaid, in respect that, you know, these are, again, everybody knows who the Scarecrow is, everyone knows who the Tin Man is, everyone knows who the Lion is, and you can't, you have to really have costumes that are gonna, my goal was to, again, evoke what the movie was. So
right. There's some things you can get away with. For example, if the Wizard of Oz was wearing a brown long coat versus a black long coat, no one would know. But that lion and the Tin Man and everything
Dorothy's
else.
Dorothy's dress.
Dorothy's dress.
Famous dress.
And,
that's
and
right.
The red shoe, the red slippers.
Of course, the ruby slippers, yeah. Yeah.
So you'll be giving those to Dorothy after you leave here, right?
Yes. What do I say? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What a nice thing say? To say. Ain't gonna happen.
All right, we're gonna close this segment out with we did brain. So now beside a brain, need a heart, right?
That's right.
All right. So we'll listen to that. Then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Billy Sprague Jr., the director of The Wizard of Oz at Theater by the Sea.
Forgot to put a heart inside.
Then he banged his hollow chest and cried.
When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, an awful sentimental regarding love and heart. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy that shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me, a balcony above, a voice sings low.
With the heart down, Romeo.
I hear a beat.
Sweet.
Just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I would stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper if I only had a heart.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting with Bill Haney from Theater by the Sea and Billy Sprague Jr., the director of The Wizard of Oz, which opens on Wednesday and has previews Wednesday and Thursday, then the big opening on Friday night. And Bill, that show runs from this week all the way up
all the way through August 13th.
August 13th, okay. So that's the opportunity to do that. And then after that will be Sister Act, as we talked about. One of the things, Billy, is that putting on a musical, it's good to have music. And we True. Do have that, right? We have an orchestra, live orchestra in the pit.
We do. We have live musicians, and it's going to sound very lush and very full. And again, it's this beautiful, beautifully orchestrated score. That's very close to the 1939 iconic movie.
That's a great thing, because I have been to productions in the past in other theaters, to be not named, where they're playing some little cassette recorder in the pit or something like that. But that doesn't happen at theater by the
sea. No, we don't do that here.
All right, great. All right, well, let's get to the next piece of music and tell us a little bit more about the story. And where does this next piece come from, Merry Old Land of Oz?
Well, it's the opener of Act Two, and it's the biggest production number in the show. It's actually very important. And the way that the number unfolds technically with the set design, lighting, and the cast is really spectacular. Mark Kimmelman is the choreographer, and he's created some amazing vocabulary with the choreography. And it's at the top of Act Two.
Here we go.
There's a garden spot, I'm told, where it's never too hot and it's never too cold.
Where you're never too young and you're never too old.
Where you're never too thin or tall.
And you're never, never, never too anything at all.
It's all true.
Oh, we're not too bad and we're not too sane. And we don't compare and we don't complain. All we do is just a tight cause it's awesome, so, so down right, right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Here we go.
When a couple of dollar lads, that's how we laugh a day away in the merry old land of Oz. Biff and biff, chip chip chip, and a couple of laddie dads, that's how the crickets crick all day in the merry old land of Oz. We get up at 12 and start to work at 1. Take an hour for lunch and then at 2 we're done.
Jolly good fun!
Ha ha ha, ho ho ho, and a couple of tra-la-las. That's how we laugh a day away in the merry old land of Oz.
Ha ha ha, ho ho ho, ha 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 ha. That's how we laugh a day away in the merry old land of Oz. In the merry old land of Oz.
Oh, it's everything you said it was and more.
When do we get to see the wizard?
Will he take us to him?
Is he scary?
The wizard?
Why, yes, of course. But first, I'll take you to a place where you can tidy up a little.
Oh, thank you.
We can make a difference.
real savoir faire in the merry old land of Oz.
Ha ha ha, ho ho ho. That's how we laugh a day away in the merry old land of Oz.
We get up at 12 and start to work at 1. Take an hour for lunch and then a 2-inch.
Jolly good fun. Ha ha ha, ho ho ho.
Bill, we want to give the opportunity to people to get tickets, whatever is left. So one more time with the website and phone number.
Yes, the website, theaterbythesea.com. The phone number is 782-8587, or go see Vinny.
Yeah.
He actually loves people coming to the box office. And I'll mention real quick the kids shows that we started last week are doing, again, very well. We've added another a third performance of Aladdin. So we got, I think, 4 or 5 more of those coming, so check
Great.
The website out for that stuff, too.
Check that on the website,
yep.
And we didn't mention, but we should, that if you are down in the area, and it's a beautiful spot to go and see Vinny, just walk up to the box office. You can grab some food at Bistro by the Sea on some occasions,
they're
right?
They're open for lunch now every day.
Every
day we're open.
Every day,
so
basically Tuesday, not open on Monday, but other than that.
Tuesday through Sunday, and they've really extended their hours and doing very well this year, because if we do well, they'll do well, and they're doing a great job, so it's a lot of repeat business for them.
So if you do get tickets, take the opportunity to get there a little bit early, grab something to eat at the bistro,
and on the weekend, stay late for the cabaret after.
You can make it a whole 12-hour thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go and have a little walk on the beach, then have lunch, then have the show, and then have the cabaret
afterwards. What better way to spend a nice summer day?
Right, and if you're a little tired, don't worry. Find Bill Haney, and you can stay with him wherever
he's staying.
The cottage. Well, Billy, we've kind of recapped quite a bit. One of the things about this show that I've got a little bit of insight from our discussion before we started tonight was that there's some technical things going on, some technical enhancements, if you will, that might not have been in the theater 75 years ago.
Yeah, just a few.
A few.
No, it's
besides the flying, which is a big deal.
It's a hugely technical show. Right, we've got these flying sequences in and of themselves are really tricky, and we have the cyclone, what we call the cyclone sequence, which of course everybody knows about the tornado in The Wizard of Oz, and we've combined several different components to create it, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's a pretty spectacular moment that includes flying, rotating scenery, projections, smoke, amazing lighting, strobes, and then of course the orchestration, which is pretty dynamic at that moment too.
And that's why you probably had to add seatbelts to all the chairs.
Exactly.
<and the,
laughs>
Well, you joke about it, but that's just about right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It should be very spectacular. Well, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little preview of what's going on. Great to see you again. Thanks,
you too.
Billy.
My pleasure.
All right. And Bill, as always, great to see you and great to have you here. And we have one more big production coming up after this one, Sister
I'll be
Act.
Here for that one with somebody from the cast.
All right. We'll look forward to that. And then we'll have our usual season wrap up and announcement of what's coming next year. So stay tuned. Right now, we're going to go out with If I Were the King of the Forest, and this is pretty much halfway through the second act. Where does this come in?
It is. I think you're right. It's just about halfway through the second act, and it's a moment in the show where all of those characters, Dorothy, Tin Man, Scarecrow, and the Lion, really believe that all of their dreams are about to come true, and this moment is what the dream would be for the Lion.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
If I were king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not prince, my regal robes of the forest
would be satin, not cotton, not chintz.
I'd command each thing, be it fish or fowl, with a woof
and a woof
and a royal growl.
Woof!
As I'd click my heel, or the trees would kneel, and the mountains bow, and the bulls kowtow,
and the sparrow would take wing.
Fine, fine, working. Each rabbit would show respect to me, the chipmunk's genuflect to me. Though my tail would lash, I would show compassion for every underneath. Fie! Fie! Working! Just a king.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.